Bought with a Price. Wellington, New Zealand, December 1893. Last night, I seemed to be in an assembly. The theme that was being presented was of an intensely interesting character. Counsel was given in regard to the education of our youth. The value of every human soul was emphasized. I was bidden to write out what I should hear. The price our Savior paid for human beings shows us the value that God places on them. Every soul should be regarded with interest and treated with respect because of the costly atonement that has been made for him. Solemn responsibilities rest upon those who claim to be children of God. They are to look upon humanity as Christ's property. We have one common Father. When we see souls depraved and degraded, we are not to pass by on the other side, thinking that there is no hope for them. Ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. Those for whom so much has been done should appreciate the value that God has placed upon them. They should respond to His love by giving Him the strength of body, mind, and soul. They are to show to the world that a change has been wrought in them by the transforming power of Christ. Iniquity has debased the form of human beings and has well nigh obliterated the image of God from their hearts. Christ came to restore that which was lost. Man had proved disloyal, but God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. God is jealous of His honor, and He sent Christ to reshape the character of man and to restore in him the divine image. What a powerful incentive God offers to fallen human beings to lead them to arise from their low estate. He has given us a sin-pardoning Savior. He whose name has been dishonored by man's disregard of the laws of His kingdom will uplift and restore those who have lost all power to help themselves. He who cooperates with God, striving earnestly to separate himself from the world and its corrupt influences, becomes a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. Can those who realize that they are members of the royal family, children to the heavenly King, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, degrade a nature that, through the merits of Christ, is related to angels, to Christ, yea, and to God Himself? Can those who realize the possibilities before them, who know that they are called to receive an immortal inheritance, to reign as kings and priests on the earth, fail to use every power of their being in an effort to become one with Christ? Now is the time of probation. Shall those who have received the light be slothful, rebellious servants, unwilling to put forth diligent effort to become holy, pure, and undefiled? An effort should be made to save every soul who by sin has lost the image of God. Those who have been redeemed from a life of sin know how to reach those who are as they once were, having no hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 2, verse 12. Elevated and ennobled by the power they have received from Jesus Christ, these workers become like Christ and work in harmony with Him. The Lord gives them success as they study to show themselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed. But while we are to try to lift men and women out of degradation, we are not to show respect and reverence for the evil characters they have formed. We are not to place our children where they must associate with the depraved and degraded. Sometimes God in His providence may bring our youth into association with those who are impure and intemperate. He will give them strength of purpose and power to resist temptation, even as He did Daniel and his associates in Babylon, if they will cooperate with Him. They must constantly commune with God. They must keep themselves pure, refusing to do anything that would dishonor God, living always with an eye single to His glory. They must watch for souls, laboring earnestly for those in whom the image of God has been defaced, seeking to reform, to elevate, and to ennoble them. Sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, in the glory of His perfected character, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 1 John 3, verse 2-3. As God is pure and holy in his sphere, so fallen man, through faith in Jesus Christ, can be pure and holy in his sphere. Let us not, then, forgetting our royal birth, allow ourselves to be betrayed into sin. Let us keep ourselves pure, free from all defilement. The 14th chapter of John contains important instruction given by Christ to his disciples as he was about to leave them. They were sorrowing because of what he had told them in regard to his sufferings and death in Jerusalem. "And I will pray the Father," he said, "and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Verses 16-18. "Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son, and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man should teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him." 1 John 2, verse 24-29. Need of a higher education. The standard of education for our youth has been too low. The education of a child should be begun in its infancy. The parents should work in harmony, with watchfulness and prayer, training aright the faculties of their child. The powers of body, mind, and soul should be so trained that the children will grow up strong to resist evil. Parents, for your own sakes, for the sake of your children, and for the sake of the one who died that you might become sons of God, walk humble before him. Keep your characters pure and elevated. Do not allow opportunities for service to pass by unappreciated and unimproved. Grow up into Christ, your living head, that you may be complete in him. Colossians 2, verse 10. Do not allow your children to become careless and loose in their habits. As you educate them in harmony with God's will, you yourselves will learn valuable lessons. Will you not avail yourselves of the opportunity granted to make yourselves and your children physically, mentally, and morally what God designs you to be? I beseech you so to work out your salvation in the home, that both you and your children may be among the number embraced by Christ's prayer. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have know thee, and these have know that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. John 17, verse 20-26. Christian schools. Some good things are taught in the public schools, but the truth is so mixed with error that minds are misled. Much good would be accomplished were Christian schools established in every place where God has a people who are serving him. I feel a burden for the education of our youth, especially in this country. We have now reached an important time in the history of our school in Australia. We should find a more suitable location. As yet, the providence of God has not opened the way for us to move from the city to a more favorable place. We are waiting and watching and working. The householder expects his servants not to stand waiting in idle contemplation, but earnestly to work while it is day, realizing that the night is coming in which no man can work. Knowledge is needed in regard to the proper bestowal of the affections. Young men and women have been taught to regard early marriages as wise. Some who claim to believe in Jesus Christ and to be loyal to God's commandments are attracted by unbelievers. They seem to forget that God has said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. A world in ignorance. There is, at the present time, a great increase of knowledge in what is called science. But children are not properly trained. They are not brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The world is becoming filled with moral leprosy. Business cares, speculation, amusement, holidays absorb the mind and affections. Men and women have no time for serious reflection. If they would take time to think seriously, the world would not today be so full of moral leprosy. The influence of a united individual effort would do much to keep back the tide of evil. The religious world is sick and knows not that it needs a physician. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many is waxing cold. Men will never reach the spiritual or intellectual heights that God wishes them to attain until they become partakers of the divine nature. They may gain a measure of intellectual power, but of what use is intellectual strength without spiritual power? Man, in all his moral degradation, may be made pure and unselfish, and he may bear in his life the divine credentials. The Lord God of heaven turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. He confirmeth the word of his servant, and maketh the wrath of men to praise him. There is to be a casting down of the high imaginations of men. Isaiah 44, verse 25, 26, Psalm 76, verse 10, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. "Yet a little while," Christ said before he left this earth, "and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me." John 14, verse 19. There is a knowledge which is for every follower of Christ, which the world cannot receive. The nations of the earth do not know that they are lost, nor do they know the things that belong to their salvation. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but in the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11 to 14. The Scriptures speak plainly in regard to the Spirit that prevails in the last days. All who have ears to hear and hearts to understand the language of Scripture can see that its prophecies are being fulfilled. Of the world today, God says, "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city! She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, she trusted not in the Lord, she drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions, her judges are evening wolves, they gnaw not the bones till tomorrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons, her priests have polluted the sanctuary, they have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof, he will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light, he faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations, their towers are desolate, I have made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, Surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off, howsoever I punished them. But they rose early, and corrupted all their doings." Zephaniah 3, verse 1 to 7. The corruption among the governments of earth reveals the character of its rulers, who have not the wisdom of God. Everywhere there is confusion and perplexity. The world is like a troubled sea which cannot rest. The theories and speculations of men will not bring peace. They will bring only additional confusion and perplexity. That voice alone which commanded the light to shine out of darkness, which said, "Let there be light," and there was light, could speak peace to the troubled world today. Genesis 1, verse 3. But God is left out of the counsels of men. Thy kingdom come. They will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 10. For ages this prayer, taught by Jesus to his disciples, has been ascending to God from contrite hearts. It will surely be answered. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Revelation 11, verse 15.